Here's Eric listening in Chicago. Hi, Eric. What's up?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I really encourage people to give to Issues, et cetera, as it's the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the world, I'd say, on the media.
Issues, etc. is listener-supported, and you can support the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the media by making a secure online donation at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
Stanza one of the so-called battle hymn of the Reformation, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Often that's sung with all sorts of robust pride in the 16th century Reformation, forgetting what the battle was really all about. It's supposed, and I think many people expect as a theme for this coming Sunday, to hoist the Martin Luther flag, to hear a little history, to hear about a little monk in Germany who was battling institutionalism, who was a rebel against the status quo. He was there to throw off all the shackles and completely liberate, well, to liberate us from tradition and all of those things. A picture of Martin Luther that, well, doesn't necessarily comport with the facts, much less a real theme for this coming Sunday as the church prepares to celebrate Reformation Sunday. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Live this Monday afternoon, October the 19th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the 3-year lectionary with Dr. Carl Fikencher. For the first hour of the program, Mark Hemingway, senior writer for the Weekly Standard, joins us after that. We'll talk about evangelical voters and the GOP presidential race. Then we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. We'll be at the Passover, Exodus chapters 11 and 12. You can join us for the next 2 hours of the program with your questions and your comments. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And our beloved on-demand listeners, use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Dr. Carl Fikencher joins us to look forward to Sunday morning, according to the 3-year lectionary. Many churches celebrating Reformation Sunday. He's professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fikencher, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Todd.
So is that the theme we ought to be talking about here, that we should be looking forward to for this coming Sunday, the Martin Luther, the little monk in Germany who battled institutionalism and tradition and the status quo?
Well, some would say that. And, you know, it's remarkable. Just this last May, Todd, I was in Wittenberg for a celebration as part of the run-up to the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, which, of course, we'll celebrate October 31st, 2017, the 500th anniversary of Luther nailing the 95 Theses to the Castle Church door in Wittenberg. And one of the things we studied was what had been done with the Reformation through the centuries on the 100th, 200th, 300th, 400th, 500th anniversaries of the Reformation and other significant days like Luther's 500th birthday and those things. And it was remarkable how through the centuries, depending on who was driving the bus, the Reformation celebrations took some remarkable turns. For example, as one might guess, in 1917, on the 400th anniversary of the Reformation, when World War I was going on, it was very much a description of the German hero in Germany. This is what how they celebrate in Germany, I should say. The German hero in Germany conquering the world, you know, and that was an attempt to rally the German people embroiled in World War I to courageous fighting against all those allies in Britain and America. In 1983, the 500th anniversary of Luther's birth, the big celebration in East Germany. At that time, communist East Germany was exactly the thing you've been describing, specifically with the proletarian hero, the common man hero, against the establishment, against the bourgeois, the capitalists. And so through the centuries, a lot of crazy things have been going on in celebration of the Reformation, and some of those still come up. But I'd like to point, by contrast, to what our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is doing as it looks forward to celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, where our theme is Reformation 2017. It's still all about Jesus. And, you know, that's the Sunday school answer to every question, but by golly, it's the right answer. And certainly when we look at the Reformation in 2015, as we celebrate it this week, we're going to see what God is doing through Christ Jesus for some magnificent things. In fact, Todd, if you don't mind, I'd like to do our Looking Forward to Sunday Morning a little differently this week, since this is a festival that we Lutherans love, we know well, we celebrate it annually with familiar lessons, familiar propers. So a lot of things here are very familiar, including the hymn that you played the first stanza of just a moment ago. And with that kind of familiarity, I'd like to lay my theme out there right now, up front. And then as we go through the propers, perhaps we could do it in the order that we will hear them on Sunday, we'll see how little pieces of the theme show up along the way. In fact, I might even encourage our listeners to get something out real quickly and write down the words of the theme as I'm presenting it. It's a lengthy theme. And then see as we go through the propers when they hear the particular words or phrases showing up as we go on. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
Okay, well, let's do it. Here's the theme that I've formulated for our propers for this Reformation Sunday 2015. It goes like this. God, as our refuge and strength, enables his reformers to speak to the next generation the eternal gospel that sets us free, justification by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. I'll say that again. God, as our refuge and strength, enables his reformers to speak to the next generation the eternal gospel that sets us free, justification by grace through faith in Jesus Christ.
So let's see where we begin to find that in those propers, as you said, in the order in which we encounter them this coming Sunday, beginning with the entrance psalm, the introit.
The introit is what people will hear first among the propers, and here's the way it goes. I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord, and shall not be put to shame. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and then be glad. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. And then the Gloria Patri. Like really all of the Reformation propers, there are images that come to mind from that history of the Reformation that you referred to. And on this one, the intro, right off the bat, the antiphon, the first verse from Psalm 119, it's 119 verse 46, does bring up one of those very vivid images of Luther in the days of the Reformation. I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord, and shall not be put to shame. I think a student of the Reformation or even a Lutheran kid in elementary school might recognize Luther standing there at Worms in 1521 before the emperor and all the powers of that be in the Holy Roman Empire challenging him to recant. Charles V, the young new emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, had called the Diet, the council or conference in Worms, specifically for the purpose of hearing Luther, and specifically, more specifically, for the purpose of bringing him to recant. Luther, of course, was not given a real hearing there at all. He was simply presented with his writings and said, now are you willing to recant, to take them all back? And after a prayerful night, Luther stood before the council again and spoke those magnificent words that we hear, unless I'm shown by Scripture a clear reason that I'm wrong, I cannot recant anything, for it is not safe nor right to go against one's conscience. I can do no other but stand here on Jesus Christ. Here I stand, he said. And in that magnificent setting, great courage that God enabled Luther to exhibit, he did speak the testimonies of the Lord before that emperor, before the king, and as it turned out, God did exonerate him. He did vindicate him. He did show that he was not to be ashamed of his confession of Christ Jesus. And it's true, as we think about Reformation, our confessing, our speaking, and the confessing and speaking of Lutherans through the generations has been a very important part of this Reformation. So from our theme already, we've got that word speak there, that God is our refuge and strength, enables his reformers to speak to the next generation. That comes up from the very beginning in the first of our propers, the intro it.
Let's see, we've got a few minutes here before we take a break. Let's look at the collect.
The collect of the day is as follows. Almighty and gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us against all enemies, and grant to your church your saving peace through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. We already described the situation for Luther at Worms, and it goes without saying that he was very much in danger of losing his life. In fact, after Luther made his confession and refused to take back his writings, the whispering in Charles' ear by those around him was to have him arrested and burned at the stake right there on the spot. And of course, that had happened to a would-be reformer, Johann Huss, just not many years before at the Council of Constance. And so there was a very real risk that Luther would be killed at that time. It didn't work out that way. Charles did honor the safe conduct that he had given, and then that wonderful story where Luther's defenders kidnapped him and hid him at the Wartburg for safekeeping for a while. But we certainly know in the Reformation and all of the opportunities that Lutherans have had to confess their faith in the centuries since, that there is real danger. And that's why here the prayer is that God would keep us steadfast in his grace and truth, protect and deliver us in times of temptation, especially the temptation to compromise our confession, and defend us against all enemies. In our theme for the day, we've expressed those words that God is our refuge and strength. We'll hear that coming up in just a moment as well, verbatim. But the collect asks for that protection from God. And without God protecting us from our enemies and protecting us from our own weakness, our temptation to give up the faith when things get a little hot, the Reformation would have amounted to nothing and the faith would not have continued. So we are certainly praying that God would continue to protect us as well from all enemies and from those temptations.
Dr. Carl Fikencher is our guest on this Monday afternoon, October the 19th. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary. Many churches celebrating Reformation Sunday, so we're looking at the propers in order, having established our theme at the outset. The next place, Revelation chapter 14, the first reading for this coming Sunday. There is an angel flying through the vault of heaven with an eternal gospel to proclaim. Stay tuned. A daily dose of Luther is good for the soul. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for October is a new devotional resource, Day by Day with Martin Luther. You can find out more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 800-325-3040. Day by Day with Martin Luther costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for October, Day by Day with Martin Luther.
Greetings in Christ, and thank you for listening to Issues, Etc. If you ever find yourself visiting the Smoky Mountains in East Tennessee, please join us here at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Sevierville. We see it as a small part of our service to the church to provide sound liturgical worship opportunities for vacationing Lutherans to our area. For worship times and directions, please visit our website at splctn.com. That's splctn.com.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues, Etc. journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues, Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues, Etc. journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues, Etc.
When the Apostle Paul stated, "I have become all things to all men," was he talking about fitting in with the world? I've written an article in the latest Issues, Etc. journal titled All Things to All Men. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor David Wan's story of failing to find Lutheran theology in several Lutheran churches, but finding it in Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions, the free online Issues, Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, celebrated by many as Reformation Sunday. Dr. Carl Fakencher is our guest, professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Went through the intro to the collect. The next thing is, in substitution for an Old Testament reading, the first reading is from the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 14. What do we find there, Dr. Fakencher?
Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 through 7. The writer of Revelation, John, writes this: "Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, 'Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water.'" This is a passage that has come down in our Lutheran tradition in an interesting way, because already at the time of Luther's death, in his funeral in February of 1546, Bugenhagen, who was actually Luther's pastor, announced, and he said this: "Without doubt, the angel of which the Apocalypse speaks in chapter 14 is Martin Luther. That is, again, and I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim." Bugenhagen was quite certain that Luther was the divinely appointed reformer of the church, the one that God had sent to do the work that had now been accomplished as Luther himself was in heaven. And the key phrase there, of course, is that there is an eternal gospel that is to be proclaimed. That, of course, is where we find that phrase in our theme, that he has given us an eternal gospel that sets us free. And this, whether it really refers to Luther directly or not, is certainly an expression of what God did through Luther and the Reformation. It really is still all about Jesus. It's not about Luther. It's not about whoever the proclaimer is. It's about the magnificent gospel of salvation in Christ Jesus that God has set free to the world. That's made clear, actually, in verse 7. He said with a loud voice, that is to say, the angel said with a loud voice, "Fear God. Don't worship Luther. Don't worship any angels. Don't worship any proclaimers. Fear God, give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water." It is true, however, that through the Reformation, and certainly Luther's voice, God did set free to the world an eternal gospel, which had been silenced for the most part for the most part, what was being taught was the tradition of the church, which in many aspects was contrary to the gospel. Those aspects that made our salvation at least partly dependent on our works and some specific works like purchase of indulgences and so on. The gospel is always the good news of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus, never a work that we do, and that's the message that God set free through Luther and other proclaimers of that message through the centuries.
What is the psalm for this coming Sunday?
Psalm 46 won't be heard by everyone, of course, but in many of our churches it will be proclaimed, and if it is, it's a real blessing, because Psalm 46 is the basis for the hymn, A Mighty Fortress. A Mighty Fortress is our God, Luther originally identified as a paraphrase of this psalm. It's a loose paraphrase, but some of the verses are very familiar. I'll just read a few of them. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam. Goes on, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter, he utters his voice, the earth melts. Verse 9, he makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. And finally, down to verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. We can certainly see the mighty fortress being described there. God as our refuge and strength. So much is going on around us every day in our generation as in Luther's generation. So many threats against God's kingdom, threats against those who would lift up the kingdom of God. The nations rage. There are enemies all around, including Satan and all of his henchmen who rage against the gospel of Jesus Christ. But God makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. That is, ultimately, he silences all of his foes, all of his enemies. We can be still and know that he is God. He ultimately will be exalted. He is a mighty fortress that defends us in all of the dangers and all of the threats that we experience, particularly as we witness, as we confess the gospel of Jesus Christ. Luther knew this very well. Often we picture Luther when he was at the Wartburg, the castle in Germany where he was kept for his own safety for a period of time, during which he was able to do much of his translation of the New Testament into the German language, making it available to God's people. And that that fortress certainly stood as a protection around him in that day against temporal foes. But Luther knew that it was really never a matter of a prince protecting him or castle walls protecting him. It was always God, our refuge and strength. And without God's protection, nothing can stand. So we've said in our theme for the day, God as our refuge and strength enables his reformers to speak.
The gradual for this coming Sunday, what is it?
The gradual stands alone this week, and it's well worth noting, therefore. As you know, the gradual, of course, is usually continued throughout a season or during these Sundays after Pentecost for a portion of the long season. That is, the gradual often runs for 4 to 6 weeks in a row. But for a special festival like the Reformation, we have a gradual that stands just for this 1 week, and so it's well worth noting. It's from Psalm 48. The gradual reads like this: Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. Walk about Zion, go round her, number her towers, consider well her ramparts, go through her citadels, that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God, forever and ever. A couple of elements here that are very significant. First, of course, we can't miss that fortress language again. The ramparts, the citadels, God's place is a place of protection. And he's talking about the city of God as the church of God. That is, all believers in Christ who are gathered together by the Holy Spirit around the gospel and therefore protected by God. We stand, though, not simply in the protection of walls as if to stay inside where all is safe and nice, but rather God gathers us as a church to be a powerful force to speak his word. We've talked about confessing the gospel of Christ Jesus in the dangerous situations that we may face, standing before kings and those who are enemies of the gospel. But in addition to doing that in our own day, the Reformation does remind us that God has very graciously delivered the gospel of Christ Jesus to us through the centuries. Obviously, this goes all the way back to Christ himself, to the first century, when Jesus lived on earth, proclaimed God's word, and was in fact himself God's word, giving his life and the death on the cross and rising from the grave. And from there, the apostles took that message out to the world, proclaiming it so that those beyond their generation could hear it. And that magnificent message of the gospel continued through the centuries, even when it was in some ways silenced. It continued to that 16th century when Luther was about his ministry on earth, proclaiming the message. And we are reminded, even now as we speak this gradual, that we continue to be the spokesman of this message to the next generation. God gathers us together in this city with the ramparts, the citadels that are high and protective, but not that we can sit on our laurels, rather that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God, forever and ever. So in our theme, we've said God, as our refuge and strength, enables his reformers to speak to the next generation, the eternal gospel. That certainly is a reminder for us as we continue to be a part of the Reformation in our own day.
Dr. Carl Fikencher is our guest. We're looking forward to Sunday morning on this Monday afternoon. When we come back, we're going to look at the epistle reading, Righteousness Through Faith, in the classic Romans chapter 3, and then several gospel readings and a few hymns of the day with Dr. Carl Fikencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Christ is the one who has borne all your anxieties, has taken them into his person, every worry, and he crucified it once and for all.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, etc.
LutheranReformation.org is the brand new one-stop shop for all things Reformation. It's your source for news, events, history, videos, activities, educational resources, and much, much more. New resources will be added regularly, each one designed to help you celebrate and remember the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Because Reformation 2017 is still all about Jesus. Visit LutheranReformation.org today. LutheranReformation.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com. Stanza 3 of the hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. We're looking forward to Sunday morning with Dr. Carl Fikencher. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a Reformation devotional resource, Martin Luther Day by Day, 365 readings for every day of the year from the pen of the 16th century reformer Martin Luther. Here's the one for today. Christians can bear everything based upon Matthew 11:30. My yoke is easy, my burden is light, Luther writes. Whatever there is of cross or suffering to be borne later on is easily sustained. The yoke that Christ lays upon us is sweet, and his burden is light. When sin has been forgiven, the conscience has been liberated from the burden and the sting of sin, then a Christian can bear easily everything. Because everything within is sweet and pleasant, he willingly does and suffers everything. But when a man goes along in his own righteousness, then whatever he does and suffers is painful and tedious for him because he is doing it unwillingly. A little bit from Luther's lectures on Galatians. From the Issues Etc., Book of the Month for October, Martin Luther Day by Day. Find out more about this devotional resource at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order it yourself, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Martin Luther Day by Day, The Issues Etc., Book of the Month for October. Dr. Fikencher, the next thing up is really, in a lot of ways, the theme. It's kind of substitutes for the gospel. This epistle reading from Romans chapter 3 sets a lot of the theme for what we're talking about here today, doesn't it?
It really does, and that's actually well expressed because, as is often the case, the epistles comment on the events of Jesus' life and ministry, and it's hard to find a better commentary than Romans 3:19-28. Everything that Jesus did was accomplishing our salvation in the full, leaving therefore us nothing to do but simply receive what he's done. That's really what our epistle lesson is about. And this certainly is one that is very familiar to Lutherans and so closely connected to the Reformation, partly because of Luther's appreciation for the book of Romans. Here it is. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. You know, it wasn't just the 15th or 16th century Roman Catholic Church's problem to think that salvation was based on works. That's the natural man's thinking. We always think that the ball should be in our court, that it should be up to us, and that's nothing other than saying we believe foolishly that we can somehow make our way to God, square it with God by being good enough, by doing enough. But then certainly the Catholic Church in the time of Luther had fallen prey to that very natural temptation and had set up a very elaborate system of works by which a person would earn his way to heaven. We mentioned before purchasing indulgences, pilgrimages to Rome, viewing relics, and so on. And then, of course, just all kinds of things that were prescribed to be done not out of obedience to God and gratitude for his grace, but to earn credit for ourselves. And so Paul addresses that here when he says, by the works of the law, no human being will be justified, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. That's what God's law really does. It shows us how badly we fall short, rather than suggesting to us that we're somehow measuring up. But now, God's righteousness has been revealed to us in a totally different way, apart from the law, Paul says. He says, of course, the law and the prophets, that is, the Old Testament scriptures, all bore witness to this. They were all talking about it from the very beginning. But here's that righteousness. It's the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Everybody's sinned. We've all fallen short. But we are declared not guilty. We are justified. We are ruled to be innocent by God, by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Jesus' death on the cross took our sins upon him and gave us in exchange God's own righteousness, so that everyone who believes this is by God seen as being just as right, as righteous, as holy as Christ Jesus himself. Christ, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood. See, it's always the cross, always Jesus shedding his blood on the cross for us that makes all of this happen. It's always the cross of Christ Jesus. It's still all about Jesus, about Christ crucified, that we talk about on Reformation Day and every other day. Verse 26 is an especially significant one to me. I'll read it again. This was to show God's righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. You know, just and justifier is an amazing combination, because God is just by nature. He is holy, he is without sin, and therefore he cannot be in the presence of sin. Anything that is tainted by sin cannot be with God, and God cannot be with the one who is tainted by sin. God is just. But God also wants to be the justifier. He wants to be the one who declares us not guilty, because he is also loving. He wants us to be with him forever. We could never come up with a solution to this dilemma. As hard as we would try, we could never give God the justification for declaring us innocent. But God did, and he did that by laying our sins upon Christ Jesus. Since God is just, sin had to be punished. God wanted to declare us not guilty, and he was able to do that by pouring out his justice, his wrath, the punishment that we deserved, on himself in the person of Christ Jesus. And once Christ has taken our sin upon himself, then God is able to look at us and say, now I am justifying you, declaring you not guilty, without in any way violating my justice. It's an amazing thing, verse 26, and it really bespeaks everything that Jesus did and how central, how essential Jesus' active obedience and his passive obedience going to the cross were for us. And so then, verse 27, then what becomes of boasting? No way, it's excluded. How? By works? No, but by faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Certainly, if we were to encapsulate the teaching of the Reformation in one very short phrase, we'd have to come back to saying this, that we are justified by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. That really is the eternal gospel that God set free for us to hear as a result of the way God moved the pieces, moved the history through the Reformation, using Luther, using his contemporaries, and continuing to use preachers of the gospel to this very day. Justification, being declared not guilty, by God's grace, his free gift, which we simply receive by believing it, not by doing anything. Faith is not a work on our part. Faith is simply receiving what God has done for us in Christ. And so, this again comes as the basis for part of our theme for this week. God, as our refuge and strength, enables his reformers to speak to the next generation the eternal gospel that sets us free, that is, justification by grace through faith in Christ Jesus.
The verse that will come before the gospel that we're going to look at here, what is it?
The verse is a very brief text from Luke chapter 12, and here it is. Alleluia! Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Alleluia! Very often the verse is taken from the gospel reading. In this case, it's not. It expresses some of the same aspects of the Reformation that we've been talking about. Fear not, little flock. We are very aware, Luther was very aware, that he was just a very, very weak individual with no real power in his own. A little flock, a gathering of God's people, this individual, that individual gathered together, and even standing together, we are still the helpless little flock. But we need not fear, because God is our refuge and strength, and as he stands over us as a mighty fortress, we can go forward with confidence and joy.
Then we come to the gospel reading. There are several choices, but John 8, beginning at verse 31. What do we find there?
John chapter 8, verse 31 is the most traditional of the Reformation gospel readings, and here it is. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This has always been a scripture reading closely connected to the Reformation, because one really does see an amazing contrast in God's plan of saving us by his grace, which we simply receive by faith, or the alternative of any form of our trying to earn our own salvation by works. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And we realize that if we were trying to earn our salvation, we would always be working from that position of slavery, because we do fall short of the glory of God, as St. Paul reminded us in the epistle lesson. We do sin. We are slaves. If we were trying to earn our salvation, we would always be falling back, falling back, falling back, and never able to be free. The Jews, unfortunately, misunderstood their position as God's people, and that comes out in their dialogue with Jesus here. Jesus says that they will be set free by abiding in him. They don't want to be set free, because they don't realize that they haven't been always free already. They say, "We are Abraham's offspring, have never been enslaved to anyone." They're actually insulted when Jesus suggests that he will make them free. They wanted to be free on the basis of their own genealogy, and certainly on the basis of their own good works. But the reality is, Jesus shows them how totally helpless they are. They are, in fact, slaves to sin. On the other hand, what Jesus does is set them free. When Jesus goes to the cross, takes our sin upon himself, dies for us, then we are relieved of the yoke, the burden of trying to earn our own salvation. The slavery to sin has been taken away. The gate has been thrown open. The shackles have come off. And when Christ sets us free, we are free indeed, set free completely to serve God in all of the wonderful ways that he has in store for us, all of the joys of our salvation that he has earned for us. This, of course, is also part of our theme for the day. God as our refuge and strength enables his reformers to speak to the next generation the eternal gospel that sets us free, justification by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. The truth is, the Reformation is a magnificent expression of being set free. It begins with the gospel itself, the Word of God being set free, proclaimed freely and openly after for many years being stifled, being shut up as the Word of God was not being taught, not being heard. But when God set the gospel free, then it set us free as well. The contrast to that real freedom that we have in Christ Jesus to any other kind of attempt to co-opt the Reformation, as you referred to earlier, Todd, to use it for something about setting free the working man from the bourgeois leadership, the capitalist leadership, or otherwise to simply break out of the confinement that society foists upon us. It falls so badly short of the freedom that Jesus is actually talking about when he says we are free indeed.
Dr. Carl Fulkancher is our guest. He is professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. When we come back on this Monday afternoon, about another 10 minutes, looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the 3-year lectionary and Reformation Sunday, we will come to two hymns, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, which we've been hearing, and Salvation Unto Us Has Come. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are 4 levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
You might wonder, is it possible for my child with special needs to receive a rich classical Christian education? Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope answers yes. With the Simply Classical curriculum created by Cheryl and published by Memoria Press, there's no reason to withhold a beautiful education from any struggling student. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper every service every Sunday, preaching Christ crucified and risen, our hope for years to come, there is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri. Find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
final stanza of the hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. It is the hymn of the day for this coming Sunday, is celebrated as Reformation Sunday. Dr. Carl Fakencher is our guest as we look forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary. Dr. Fakencher, let's talk about the hymn of the day, beginning with A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, and also spend a little time, if we could, on Salvation Unto Us Has Come.
Yes, the two of them together really make a very nice pairing, and in most of our churches, we'll hear both of them this week. You're going to hear A Mighty Fortress everywhere you worship in the Lutheran Church this coming Sunday, but Salvation Unto Us Has Come has also long been an appointed hymn for Reformation Day as well. First, A Mighty Fortress, it picks up, of course, all of that battle imagery that we've talked about so much along the line. Luther and the church, the whole church, not just Lutherans, through the centuries, have always been under fire. We've always been attacked, and Luther in A Mighty Fortress makes it really clear how that really plays out. It really isn't a matter so much of an emperor or church authorities as the opponents. It really is none other than the old evil foe. It's the devil himself who now means deadly woe. He always has. Deep guile and great might are his dread arms in fight. On earth is not his equal. No one here on earth is an equal to Satan as the mighty adversary. But of course, we're not counting on the strength of our arms or the wisdom that we can muster, or even our grand tradition and history. With might of ours cannot be done, soon were our loss effected, we're done for on our own, but for us fights the valiant one whom God himself elected. Ask ye, who is this? We know who it is. Jesus Christ it is. The Lord, the Sabaoth Lord, the Almighty Lord, is the one who fights for us. And because he fights for us, even though the whole world is filled with devils, they're all eager to devour us, they really can't hurt us. One word conquers all of them. Declaring the word of Christ Jesus always gives us the victory, so that by what Jesus has done and what he enables us to cling to in his word means that our victory has been won, and no matter how dangerous and violent the adversaries, the kingdom ours remaineth. We have the kingdom of God. We can always cling to that. And then Salvation Unto Us Has Come picks up the other portion of the theme we've been working with so well, the portion of what it is God sets us free now to hear. As he defends us, he enables us to confess and therefore enables the world to hear. And what is it that we hear? We hear that chief doctrine, justification by grace through faith. Salvation unto us has come by God's free grace and favor. Good works cannot avert our doom. We've talked about that. They help and save us never. Faith looks to Jesus Christ alone, who did for all the world atone. He is our one Redeemer. The hymn actually has 10 stanzas that are printed in our hymnal from an original 12 stanzas. And as we sing it this Sunday, people will notice the beautiful movement from that summary statement up front that we are saved by faith in Christ Jesus alone, by God's grace. Then Paul Spiritus, the hymn writer, takes us through the dilemma. What God did in his law demand, none could render to him. It was a false, misleading dream that we could somehow save ourselves. From sin our flesh could not abstain. No, we were held in sin's clutches. But as the law must be fulfilled, we must die despairing. Christ came and has God's anger stilled, our human nature sharing. And from stanza 5, the hymn goes on to tell us how beautifully Christ has worked out the gospel for us. He has full atonement made. Stanza 7, so we need not doubt, but we can truly see that his word, which cannot be broken, assures us of salvation. Stanza 8 describes law and gospel again. Stanza 9, we cling to Jesus' cross alone. It's always about Christ crucified. And stanza 10, we rise to sing a magnificent doxology that because of what God has done in saving us in Christ Jesus, we can give all blessing, honor, thanks, and praise to Father, Son, and Spirit. It's a magnificent hymn that gives the content of the Reformation as A Mighty Fortress celebrates God setting that content free by setting us free from the enemies who would silence it.
So again, with 30 seconds here, the theme.
God is our refuge and strength, enables his reformers to speak to the next generation the eternal gospel that sets us free, justification by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And a couple of things to point out. Number one, it is in the present tense. He enables his reformers to speak. Even now, every time the gospel is proclaimed in our day and age, the Reformation continues. And notice that the theme begins and ends with God in Christ Jesus. God as our refuge and strength, and ultimately the proclamation is faith in Jesus Christ. It really is still all about Jesus. The Reformation and the Reformation celebration this coming Sunday is all about what God has done for us in Christ Jesus, setting his word free that sets us free.
Dr. Carl Frequencher is professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Frequencher, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Todd.
Folks, if you appreciate Issues Etc., Real Reformation Radio, please consider joining our monthly or annual giving program, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Membership benefits include T-shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran congregation. You can find out more by clicking the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses at issuesetc.org or give Craig a call, 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. It's the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. In Hour 2 of Issues Etc., Mark Hemingway will join us from the Weekly Standard. We'll talk about evangelical voters and the GOP presidential race. Then we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on the Passover in Exodus chapters 11 and 12 with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. Hour 2 of Issues Etc. in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.